That's pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, and welcome to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. I'm Lucas.
I'm Phil.
And today we have what, Phil?
We have for you today the VSC Plus experience.
The VSC Plus very special episode plus experience.
Yeah.
I don't know what the plus is. Neither does
Disney. You'll find out.
Yes.
You'll find out later what the plus is. There will be something in this episode that is extra.
Yes. Now, if we seem a little off right now, it's because we had already actually recorded half an episode and the power blinked here at Talenton Studios.
So hopefully it won't for at least another 30 minutes or so.
Or so. Well, we fill your brain with things. Holy things.
Holy things.
Did you not tell them it was the Lord's podcast? Phil, last time we went on for just a few minutes about how great it's been podcasting together.
Yes.
How
it's
that
been
has
great.
Just...
No need to go through that crap again. I love you, buddy.
I love you too, man. I'm glad. Thank y'all for listening. It has given us an excuse to get together and talk every other week
for
years. So, thank y'all. We really could,
in some ways, record many of our phone conversations.
Yeah.
Because it's just what this is.
Exactly.
We just hang out and talk, and we have fun.
Exactly.
We enjoy it.
We love you. Anyway, Phil, what's the best thing you had to eat this week?
Vegetable soup. I just told you.
Yes, but now tell the audience.
No, I grew up just really disliking soup. As you said, I feel like I got cheated out of a meal. I sat down, I used the utensil, I put things in my mouth, and I'm still just as hungry as I was when I sat down.
It's a good appetizer. I mean, I think, at home, we eat, I love chili. I love chili.
Chili's different.
It's like thick and hearty.
Right.
But yeah, most soups, they've got to be something special.
Right. But this soup was vegetable. It had some beef in it, not a whole lot, but it was satisfying. I loved it. Vegetable beef soup, shout out to my wife, Bronwyn. It was not from a can. It was homemade soup. Very, very wonderful. I did eat two bowls, though.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what did you have afterwards?
Good stuff. Big slice of chocolate cake. No, I did not.
Oh, okay. I took you seriously.
No, I did not have a slice of chocolate cake
Big
after
Mac,
my
large
soup.
Fries, and a Diet Coke. I'm dieting.
Yeah. So what's been going on this week, Lucas? You were sick. You had like a stomach thing
the last
3 weeks.
Yeah, the last couple episodes have been released. It's been kind of a rehash of our episodes with Andrew. It's been...
Yeah.
I don't actually know. So I had a stomach... I had like the common stomach virus that's going around right now. It's a longer one. It takes most people... It took my girls like a week and a half each to get through it.
Oh, okay. But it hits you really hard.
Yes. Yeah. This last couple times I've had... any sort of stomach virus or bug or whatever they are, it's just taken me completely out.
Well, we missed our last time to record. So again, the last couple episodes you've heard from us have been repeats with Andrew Layden talking about the Enneagram.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought those were great conversations, and we just had to have something to give you guys, and we didn't want to just skip
right.
A week or 2 weeks.
But
I thought those were great. We had a great time talking with Andrew.
Yes, love
and,
that guy.
And really a lot of wisdom, as well as a ton of fun.
A ton of fun.
So
speaking of fun, Phil?
Yeah?
Would you like to play a game?
I would.
All right.
Do you have game music?
I got game music going. So, this game is called Joker or Not.
What?
You have to decide.
I have to tell a joke?
No. So, in the NBA Finals right now, by the time this airs, probably actually not anymore, but the Nuggets are playing the Heat, and last night, right before we recorded, the Nuggets demolished the Heat, tore them apart. Nikola Jokic.
Embarrassing.
I just love how good he is because of the way he looks. He's this kind of tall, little bit chubby white guy.
Yeah.
Just out there.
And he sort of lumbers around the court.
His shot looks funny. He just, I just love it.
But then he spins that enormous body.
And he's
does
weird.
A little sky hook.
Yes.
Not really much of a hook, but this thing over dual defenders. It's just incredible.
So yeah, if you didn't know, he was drafted 41st, which is in the NBA, that's the second round. Normally guys drafted in the second round don't make the league. Like they may never play a game, or if they do, it's like 1 or 2 minutes here or there. But Jokic has been the MVP twice. He's the best player on the best team in the league right now.
Yeah.
Just phenomenal. So it's a really cool story, really cool deal.
And I loved his interview about when they asked him if he was the best player.
Yeah, he said,
he just would not answer this.
He's like, sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. I'm okay.
No, I'm okay with that. Yeah, yeah. That's good.
Yeah, just
so did the Joker say this or not?
Right. Did
so what? How does this
Jokic
work?
You say this or not? I'm going to give you a quote. You decide if I made it up or if Joker actually
all right.
said it, which we already went
Lucas
through some of his best
or
ones.
Or the Joker?
Okay. Okay, so this is him. Okay. Or it's not. We will see. All right, first quote. I wouldn't have drafted me either. Look at me. I'm not made for this game.
I say yes. He said that.
He did. The Joker said.
Love it.
That quote.
Love it, love it, love it, love it.
All right, he said, here we go. I'm patient. I'm not very fast. I don't have a choice.
No, he did not say that.
He did say that.
He did say that.
He did say that.
Well, I guess, yeah. He doesn't look fast. I think he moves more. Anyway, yeah. Faster than he looks. As far as, like, you know, inside. Like when he takes a step, it goes a long way. Anyway. Next. Lucas, are you there?
Yes.
Did we lose you?
I'm telling you, when we recorded the first time, I had better quotes and we used all the best ones. I was always really good with the ball. I was always passing the ball, scoring, shooting the ball. I think for me, that's just a normal thing.
I think he said that because that sounds, just looked it up.
That sounds pretty normal. Okay, he said, I don't think I'm funny.
No, he did not say that.
He did say that.
He did say that.
He said all of them. I used all my made-up ones the last time. That's Jokic.
Is that the end of the game now?
That's the end of the game.
The music changed. Okay. Oh. Well, that was fun because, you know, it's just fun to listen to that guy talk.
He is. Yeah, he's a blast. I would look up. There's some really good like compilations of just funny things he says.
Yeah.
There's one where he's like, I like all sports. Horses, running, basketball. You're like, wait, what? Horses? He'll go off just talking about animals. He's a great guy. A great quote, I guess.
Yeah, he's a great
guy. I don't know much about him.
Seems like a great guy, but... Yeah. Okay, so there you go.
So
is that the end of the podcast?
Dad Stories with Lucas. Let me just give you a quick dad story. I've been sick. Naomi's been sick. Jubilee's been sick. Praise the Lord. Tori did not get sick.
Praise the Lord,
she
brother.
She is 8 months pregnant. Our son is on his way. Can't come soon enough.
Next month.
Yep, July 2nd is the due date. I'm hoping he comes early, though, because that would be nice. So
Yeah.
Anyway, but we were all sick. And so now my girls with their baby dolls are constantly the game they love to play. Jubilee will come up with her baby. She goes, Dada, throw up. And she'll like touch their mouth and be like, throw up. Or Naomi will come up rubbing her baby's tummy. She'll be like, oh, my baby's tummy's hurting. Like they don't feel good. They need to sleep with me tonight.
Oh, man. So it's like this whole season of stomach
issues. Yes, it's
changed
everything. We're now like, that's the game they play with their babies.
It's childhood
the
trauma, I think. They've experienced trauma now.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, no.
So,
yeah.
All the games with the babies. Dad, they threw up.
Yeah.
And then because Naomi, the only time that they get to sleep in our bed is if they're sick. And so Naomi is like, my baby needs to sleep with me tonight. They don't feel good. I'm like, okay, do what you want. You can have all your baby dolls. I don't care.
Yeah, but, man, they're so cute. The kids are cute.
Yes, and they're a blast.
And, you know, it's amazing how kids interpret life. And I would tell you a story now, but I'm going to save it for the next dad story. I have a dad story. I have an unspoken.
I see you in the back.
I see that hand raised.
I see that hand raised.
Lord bless you.
There's 12 people here, and you said 13 times.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, let's. What's our main course? We've gone through some orange juice, some coffee, and an appetizer. I don't know. We've eaten.
Yeah, we've eaten. We've had some. We've had some
Brahms
appetizers. Lucas had Brahms for breakfast this morning.
It was delicious.
Didn't bring me any, but that's okay.
Let's put an asterisk.
Yeah. Asterisk. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So I have been reading a book called The Indwelling Life of Christ by Major Ian Thomas. First of all,
for those of you that don't know, Phil can read.
I can read. I love to read things that are deep, heavy, but I really wanted something that was just very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And I remembered our former pastor, Gordon Small, whom we shared when
Pastor Gordon. When
Lucas was the youth pastor at Eastwood here in Tulsa, and I was the media minister, media director.
The guy.
But Gordon was our pastor, and he loved, and he always told me that I reminded him in the things I would say of this guy, Major Ian Thomas. So I started reading him, and I'm like, yeah, that guy, he's a lot further along than I am when he's writing these things. It's challenging for me.
Right.
But it is, I think it's a great resource for kind of a simple, straightforward, this book and a lot of the other things he's written, kind of a simple, straightforward way to look at, Lucas and I talk about a lot on the podcast, and the way that the Christian life should function is more about who he is in us rather than how we could just try to be more like him on our own. You know, that
right.
What we call the Christ life or identity in Christ, that he has actually come into you and he lives his life through you. Major Ian Thomas talks a lot about that. And there's a quote by him I want to talk about. What are you going to say?
I was going to say that our point is that following Christ is not just white knuckling your way out of issues, right? It's not just like try really hard not to sin and see what happens. So.
Right. And so here's the quote that I just kind of want to dive into today and talk, really just talk about life. When he's talking about repentance, he says that true repentance is basically saying, I can't, but he can.
Hmm. I'm going to say the Joker did not say that.
The Joker did not say that.
I can't, but he can.
I can't, but he can. Or any, you know, the several, he kind of repeats that a lot in this book. And he talks about repentance. And I'm going to say, to me, this is like a deeper level of repentance. Because what is it that most of us think of repentance as?
You turn away from your sin, right?
Right, that's turn. And I think the word means like to turn.
Yeah. I mean, that's where we, at VBS, right? We sing the song. And I think it's like, repent and turn to God forevermore. But it is like you leave behind your old self, mm-hmm. turn to God. And I think sometimes we don't describe it exactly in the leaving behind your old self, but it is. So you turn from sin to God.
Well, in my children's study Bible, not study Bible, my children's Bible storybook that I read to them when they were kids, I remember, I think it was the story of Zacchaeus, or it may have been multiple times. It said, Jesus told them, or maybe it was about John the Baptist when he told them to repent.
Right.
It says it told them to stop doing bad things and start doing good things. And I remember reading that to my kids and going, ooh.
Yeah.
Is this... This is how we want a child, and I understand we're simplifying it for a child.
But is it?
I don't know, though.
It is. It's not. It's way more than that. And it's because I think in the point where we're headed here is because that's impossible.
Absolutely.
If I come to a heroin addict, let's just go extremes here, and I say, "Hey, stop doing heroin, get a good job, and buy a house."
Yeah, and
they're like,
"Yeah, go ahead."
I would say they're like, "Great advice, bro."
Right.
I'm going to try really hard for about 12 hours, and then I'm going to fail again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it is. And so it's the same thing. Like if Jesus' message were to come to earth and be like, hey, do your best. Try really, really hard to stop sinning and follow me instead. Like, okay, I'm doing my best, bro. But I think because like your children's book is, it's very telling of maybe what a lot of churches and what a lot of believers believe.
I think it's Western at least. evangelical thought. Well, maybe not even just evangelical.
Well, maybe subconsciously too. I don't know if we're actively thinking like, just do really, try really hard. Like we might even say like, we need to rely on the Lord for strength. But in that, I think what we're saying is like, Lord, strengthen my plans rather than change my plans to be your plans.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I would also say, I think that this whole idea of stop doing bad things, start doing good things. I mean, think about the last 20 sermons you heard. Mm-hmm. How many of them were focused on we're focused on that kind of idea. Mm-hmm. You know, that you need to stop doing this, you need to start doing this. So, and I just think sometimes we get the idea as preachers, teachers, that what people need in order to do the right thing is just motivation. We need to somehow stand on the pulpit and motivate them.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think I was called to be a life coach, and that's what a life coach is, right? Yeah. You're trying to motivate them, and I don't think that's what it is. And that's where like just preaching through scripture is so beneficial instead of trying to like pick out points and things, because you can't skip anything. And it is like, As a believer, like,
you can skip over stuff.
Yes,
I've heard it many, many times.
I think it is like I don't come to be motivated or to be told what's right or what's wrong. Ultimately, I come to eat, right? Like when I come to church, our whole podcast, Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil, because it's a second breakfast. My goal with the podcast, my goal when I go to church, is not to give some life changing advice. My hope and my goal is that like I go to church to eat. I want to like feast while I'm there, right? Like we've talked about that. And like on the podcast, I hope when you listen, like maybe it's not like a full meal, but maybe like just a bite of pancakes at least, right? Like we want you to eat.
Yeah. So I think what we're talking about is, and I don't know whether you want to call it real repentance, true repentance, because if true repentance really is turning around, you know, this is how you turn around. Mm-hmm. If you can get into your mind what Ian Thomas is talking about when he says to God, I can't, but you can.
Yeah.
This is how. And we just I don't believe we talk about that nearly enough. We talk about what, but we don't talk about how.
Yeah.
As if we don't, you know, I feel like a lot of times when I go to church or when I hear a preacher preach, that guy just doesn't think I want to do the right thing.
Yeah, it's like talking to you like, yeah, you just really don't want to volunteer enough. You don't want to leave behind your sin. You don't want to do this. And I think most of us in our sin, most people caught in their sin are, I'm tired of this.
I want out, but I just can't.
Like, it's not a motivation issue. Right. Like, and it feels like a motivation issue, but it's not. That's not what it is.
Right. Yeah. That's a really good point, and it does feel like a motivation issue because we do the wrong thing. When we're caught in sin, we choose to do it.
Yeah, and it is the I'm trying to think of like motivation, the way it works, right? Is it's
that's the mechanism.
Sure to wane, right? And because I can leave from Sunday service and I can feel really motivated and I can make it to Tuesday, right. You know, right? And I haven't fallen again. But then by Tuesday, that I've worn away all of that motivation, that fleshly desire to do what's right. Yeah. Like I've worn away all of myself. And if I'm all that's standing there, then it's out.
Well, and also, I just want to point this out and to hear, want everybody to hear what Lucas just said, that fleshly desire to do what's right, because this to me is the reason most Christians stay caught in sin.
Yeah.
Because they depend on the fleshly desire to do what's right. And we don't know another way to go.
I was just in that, like we don't know another way to go. And it's, I think we like VBS, as I mentioned earlier, and like, a lot of us were stuck in milk, and so like I think this is good. Let's move past. But it is the ABCs of becoming a Christian, right? Admit, believe, confess. And I think back, like I still have the songs, like admit to God you are a sinner, believe that Jesus is God's only son, and admit that you are a sinner. But then it's I can't stop being a sinner. Like I think that has to be the admittance if you're truly going to repent, if you're going to get to this point. It has to start with admit, and this is like 12-step program, Celebrate Recovery, Regeneration, Alcoholics Anonymous. That's step one.
Yeah,
admit you have a problem and you are powerless. And this is where I think, like, to me, all Christians should we should be going through these programs, because like we have been addicted to sin. And now, like, as addicts, we need to be going through these things together, and be, yeah. It'd be okay to say, yeah, like, I admit that I'm a sinner, and also, like, I don't know how to stop. Maybe I don't even, like, sometimes I don't even feel like I want to stop.
Right.
Like all of this together, but it does. Like, admit is not just admit that I am a sinner, but that I am powerless to overcome it on my own.
Right. That you, this, and that motivation, you know, how... If we admit, and we need to admit that sometimes our problem is that we just want to do what's wrong.
Yeah.
We like it.
Mm-hmm.
We want, you know, it feels good. It's our most basic impulse to yell at somebody when they make us mad, when they pull out in front of us in traffic, or, you know, when they, you know, when your wife just pushes that button. Mm. Again, it's our most basic, just immediate impulse.
Right.
So it's like, have you ever tried to fix your car and there's a place that you know you need to get that wrench and you just can't get to it?
Right.
That's what we're like. How do you get to that spot? You know, that motivation, that deep level of subconscious motivation. Yeah. How do we get to that, right? And I think most people sitting in the pews in church want that. They're sitting in the pews going, yeah, shut up. I've heard you say that a million freaking times. Tell me how.
You've told me drunkenness is wrong. Or like,
right.
This is Pride Month, right? Like, you've screamed at me from the pulpit that like homosexuality is wrong.
Right. But how do I fix my heart?
I still feel this way.
Right.
What do I do about it?
Exactly.
And I think we're all sitting there, and this is like at preaching in the past and things, it's like, oh, preacher, I'll tell Tori about my sermon. She's like, okay, well, what's the practical step? Like, it's great to talk about all these theories, but like it's again, like we're sitting there on the edge of our seats. Like, okay, you've told me I'm wrong. You've told me I'm a sinner. Okay, now what do I do?
How do we get there?
Well, now here's the invitation. Come forward and pray. And it's like, I don't even know.
No, and look, and you're exactly right. And so a lot of times we'll go forward and we'll think, oh, so this must be the answer. I just need to go forward and pray and really mean it.
Yeah. I need that. This is the one. It's not in scripture anywhere, but what is the one? You plant your stake again and you're going to, I'm going to rededicate my life to Christ.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and I'm like, I remember as a kid doing that because it was what was the there. And I was like, well, yeah, I still sin. I need to go forward and like, and put my stake in the ground. Like, yes, I know Jesus.
Right. And I think those things can be, those moments can be valuable because there is an intimacy with the Lord. But that's not the answer.
No.
The answer is tied in with an element of that, which is intimacy with the Lord, I think. But I don't think you need to want it more. You don't need to want it more. You don't need to be more motivated because, listen, the scripture says, let's just pull in some of the scripture. Now, how do we actually do that? Well, Philippians, I believe
4:13.
Man, I'm so bad
through Christ.
I'm so bad now at all the verses and chapters and verses, and I used to be so good with it. So I don't look things up in advance. But
he was a Bible teacher.
Faithful
before.
Is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. If you read that whole passage, that faithful is he who called you, and he will also do it. You know what? The whole passage before that, it's all the list of sins and all the list of things that people struggle with. It's all these lists of instructions about how to live, what your life should look like and shouldn't look like. It's all this call to a holy and godly and beautiful life. Mm-hmm. And right at the end, he tags it with, faithful is he who calls you, and he will do it.
He will do it.
And there's where Ian Thomas says, if you have to come to the point, and this is way too simple, we're going to get into it more. We're not just going to stay here, but this is the beginning. This is the attitude. This is what you have to hang on to, latch on to, don't let go.
Yeah.
God, I can't, you can.
Yeah.
It's your power, not mine. This is what dying to self is, I believe. More than saying, your way, Jesus, not mine. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a part of this. But the heart of it is, your life, Jesus, not mine.
Yeah.
Your power, Jesus, not mine. Your literally your will, not mine.
Yeah. And I think that's where it, like, when you come to him and you want to be saved from sin, you want to be saved from this feeling, you want to be saved from this addiction, you want to be saved from this, like, I think you don't get to pick and choose, right? Like, you leave all of you behind.
Yeah.
Like, it's, and I think that's where we've got to, like, you can't just come to Jesus and be like, hey, take away this problem, and that's all I really want from you.
Yeah.
Like, you come to him. Like,
Lord,
I want,
take that desire away. Yeah, that's not the way it works.
No, he's going to change you completely. Are you willing? What's that piece of your heart that you're trying to hold back from him? What's that part of your life that you're like, but this is still really good, but there's just right. this little bit is what's wrong. So if you could just, like, do a minor surgery, and Jesus is like, hey, I've got to replace every bit of it. Like you were talking earlier, like in your car, you're working on it. Like Jesus is like, I have a new car for you. Like, you can keep over there tinkering with your little wrench, and that's super cute on your little Saab. There's like a Maserati waiting for you right here. If you'll just come on. You know, that's Juby right now. Like, her favorite. Says, come on. Come on. Come on, Dada. Come on, Mama. Like, she'll be like, she's I hungry. Come on, my Dada. Come on, Dada. And like, we'll come and like grab your hand. Come on, Dada. But it is like Jesus being the gentleman that he is, he doesn't like drop kick you into this, right? He's sitting there like, come on. Like, I have so much better for you. Like, you think your issue here is just this, but it's everything.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing, it's falling apart. It's rotting. Your bones are crumbling within you.
So let's explore that, because that idea, Lucas, we think our issue is our issue.
Hmm.
Our issue is not our issue.
No.
The problem, the real issue is that we're depending on ourselves.
Yeah. And we may be willing to give him the whole issue, but we're not willing to give him our whole self.
Right.
And I think it's I've quoted her before, but the great theologian Taylor Swift, it's me. Hi, I'm the problem, it's me. Right? Like
T Swifty 317. Yeah. Okay, so yeah. Man, woo!
Sorry,
Taylor Swift. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem.
Phil's here quoting scripture, and I'm quoting Taylor Swift.
That seems appropriate. Yeah, really, when you meet the two of us.
Thank you, Phil. Okay, I think it is the issue isn't the issue, but I do think if we're going to give a practical step here's where I want to come from, because I think, like, time wise and we can come back. Let's come back.
Yeah,
but. But my practical step for you, if you're going to find the root, if you're going to get to where your idols are at, if you're going to get to the bottom of this, it has to start with confession. And with the Lord, like, actually admit to him. And don't just be like, God, I sinned today. But like, actually admit to him. But also with some fellow believers. Like, you'll be surprised. Let's just keep on with this Taylor Swift thing. In the song, she says, it's me, hi, I'm the problem, it's me. At tea time, everybody agrees, right? Like, she's saying, they're all talking about me at tea time. Like, they're all saying I'm the problem. Here's the deal. You may think you're hiding your sin really, really well.
Yeah.
You may think you got it all figured out. But your close believer friends, they know.
Yeah.
They may not know what your issue is, but they can definitely see the idol.
Yeah.
They can see that there's something going on. And I think, to me, like, this is confess, pray, and be healed. I think this is in Titus or Timothy. It's one of the T's.
James.
Close. It's one of the names that's still used.
Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed.
Yes. And this is the deal, right? Like, I think this is, we miss this, because what I want is I want to confess to God that I am a sinner. I want him to heal me. And then I never want to have to address it again.
Yeah.
I want to skip all the part of confessing to one another. I don't want to have to admit to people that I was wrong and I was doing all these things. But man, this is such a sweet gift from the Lord that this is the way he does it.
And what I wonder why, you know, and let's wrap this back around. And I don't even know the answer to this. Usually when I ask you a question, Lucas, I know the answer.
Yeah, you always ask me a leading question. You're like, do you know what E equals MC squared means? Because I do, idiot. Anyway.
It's just the way these conversations work sometimes. You kind of have to be prepared. You don't want a lot of dead air. But I'm going to ask a possible dead air question.
Let's do it.
How does that idea of confession to others, how does that tie into trusting the power of Jesus in us rather than trusting our own fleshly power to white knuckle it, grit our teeth, mm-hmm. and get better.
Be a man and get over it and bury it deep inside. I'm going to give maybe a dumb answer to fill airtime while you think of a smart answer. Sound good? Here's what I think.
Dumb answers with Lucas.
I think it's incredibly humbling to come before someone and say, I screwed up. And I think it requires me to trust that not only does Christ live within me, but that Christ lives within every other believer.
Ooh, that's good.
So I'm not.
That is not a dumb answer at all, Lucas.
I'm not depending on you, Phil, to have grace for me. I'm depending on Christ's grace to come through.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. Yeah, I don't have a smarter answer than that. That's really good. I just think it all has to come down to this idea that it is His power and not ours. When He said, if anyone wants to follow me, he has to take up his cross daily and follow me. You're not giving up your right just to make choices. You're giving up your right to trust in your power to make the right choice.
Yeah. I mean, it literally is, incredibly humbling to come forward and say, oh man, I am totally, totally depraved. I'm totally, like, my whole self is wired wrong. Right. Maybe not from the beginning, but from, you know, the fall.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's this miswiring issue that's causing every single thing to, like, tick back. And ultimately, it's ticking back to me being the center of it all. Right. Center of the universe. And all of us having this innate desire to worship ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. As Paul says, and we're going to close with this. We'll keep going all day. But this is a good conversation. We'll come back to it. Mm-hmm. As Paul says that. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. And he's literally talking about the power to do good. Mm-hmm. It's Romans 7. He's saying this, I know that nothing in my flesh is going to help me with this. It's completely impotent to do good. But then he says, if we walk, and then this is in a different place, but he says, if we walk in the Spirit, we won't carry out the desires of the flesh. Hmm. So I think the first step to walking in the Spirit is saying, God, I can't, but you can. Yeah, so
the passage you're talking about, for I have the desire to do what is right, for nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out.
Not the ability to carry it out.
And yes, it is like literally within you. You can't do this.
Yeah.
And I think that's got to be the start of it, is for you to admit to yourself, admit to God, and admit to others, I just can't do it.
And the desire is not enough. It's got to be His power.
See, this.
We need that power. We need Him.
It goes against everything like that because like the whole deal, like, never say I can't. Like, those words do not come out of your mouth. The other day, Naomi, she needed to go potty, but she did not want to get on the toilet because she was tired and cranky. She's like, I can't, Dada. I was like, we do not say those words. Like that, because it feels like a curse word from all of me growing up. Like, you don't say I can't. But no, we're the opposite. Look to God and say, I can't.
But you can.
But you can.
But you can.
All right, Phil, you have a
minute of curmudgeonry here. I do. You have music for our minute of curmudgeonry? So I drive around town here in Tulsa.
That's not very curmudgeon.
Excuse me. It sounded a little gassy. Oh, this is perfect. So I drive around Tulsa and I see these things, these places every day. When I stop at my coffee place, the Panera Bread for the, I'm a member of the mediocre coffee club.
The Sip Club,
Unlimited Sip Club. I'm very grateful. Shout out to Panera. The coffee is not great, but I put enough unlimited almond milk and sweetener in it.
What?
I enjoy it.
Tea over quality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's decent.
You only have a minute.
But, So there's a place next door called Sugar Llamas.
Sugar Llamas?
Sugar Llamas. There's several of them. I think they're not only in Oklahoma. What the heck? So if I were going to have, I think maybe they sell candy or something. I don't know. I don't know what they sell. What the heck? I know what they don't sell are llamas made out of sugar. That's what they don't sell that.
So wait, hold on. Just so we're straight, you're mad at this store's existence.
I'm mad at their name. Name it something so that it means something.
Phil, you're so old, and I'm so proud of you.
Sugar All right. Madness. It's also because of our growing Hispanic population and the need to know Spanish. And I just for a long time thought it was sugar yamas.
Sugar yamas, baby! No, it's somebody, because a sugar mama is a thing. So somebody right. got creative. A sugar.
And that is so stupid.
That's my sugar llama. Sugar llama.
I'm sorry. If you're listening and you're the creator of sugar llamas, I apologize. I love you in Jesus.
Hey, we take sponsorship.
I just don't understand what
I would
you're
love
doing.
For you to, if you are the owner of anything and you want to sponsor us, we are available. We have dozens of listeners. Speaking of listeners, Phil, if they have any questions, comments, complaints, concerns, ideas, or anything else they want to tell us, what should they do?
Email us at SEC.
SecondBreakfast777@gmail.com.
Or SecondBreakfast777@gmail.com.
We love you, folks. Have a good day and...
Oh, hold on.
Live band!
Woo! Wow. Nice.
Yeah.